Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11.
One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried in the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word today and reflect on its meaning in our lives, Lord, we pray that your spirit would move in our hearts. We pray for ears to hear and eyes to see. Most of all, Lord, we pray for soft hearts, willing to be moulded and shaped into the image of your Son. Lord, help us as we hear from your word today to become more and more like Christ Jesus. Help us to grow in the joy, in the hope of our salvation. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I'm going to share a story of a man named Jeff. Jeff spent most of his childhood being picked on by the other kids because he was overweight. In fact, he was bullied so often as a kid that he eventually grew up to become a very angry young man. In high school, Jeff, he discovered bodybuilding. And it wasn't long after he got into bodybuilding that he went from being the kid who was bullied all the time to the school bully himself. He says, "I was fighting all the time. I didn't take anything from anybody." After high school, he ended up joining a violent motorcycle gang. He got married, had a daughter, but he never left that violent lifestyle in the biker gang behind. Jeff said, "Life in the motorcycle gang was so violent. It was just constant stabbings and shootings." One Christmas, Jeff's wife had had enough of his violence and his lifestyle, and she left him, taking his young daughter with her. About the same time, Jeff's sister passed away, and all of that was too much for him. And to numb the pain, he turned to cocaine, and it wasn't long before he was addicted. And over the next 6 years, he lost everything. His habit became so bad that he began stealing wherever he could. He even stole from his own parents. He was stealing just to survive. But in the providence of God, one day Jeff was in a bar, and a man who was known as Doc walked in, and that's where he met him for the first time. Doc was a strange kind of biker. He was sober. And he brought a Bible in with him to the bar every time he'd come in. Jeff said, "I thought he was crazy with all that Jesus talk and all that, but he was just a really nice guy." Meanwhile, Jeff's life continued to spiral out of control. He became homeless. He started living under a bridge. Still addicted to cocaine, he was arrested more than 30 times on drug charges. Jeff knew he needed to get help. The only person he knew, the only person in his whole life that he knew that didn't do drugs was this man named Doc. Jeff said, I looked up his phone number, gave him a call, and he invited me to church. Surprisingly, Jeff went along. That Sunday, God did a miraculous work in Jeff's life. Jeff said, I had an experience with Christ that day. It was as though he was there on the pew right next to me, speaking to me. I can remember him saying that it was time for me to give my life over to him. And right there and then in that pew, Jeff gave his life to Christ. He gave up drugs and alcohol and was reunited with his daughter and his parents. And later, in a miraculous turn of events, he actually had the opportunity to encourage his father to the Lord before he passed away. Now Jeff's on staff at his local church. And one of his main roles is ministering to people who are recovering from addictions. Jeff says, there aren't words big enough for me to tell you what God has done in my life. There's any number of testimonies that I could have chosen to share with you this morning. In fact, there were so many that I was completely swamped by the possibilities of stories of the way that God's good news of Jesus has affected the lives of people in all generations, all throughout the world. And what a radical change it has made in their lives. Not everyone's story is quite as extreme as Jeff's, but everyone who has been saved by the good news of Jesus will be radically changed forever. Once our eyes have been opened to see the truth of the gospel, once we have seen our need and we have known the good news of our great Saviour, our lives can never be the same. Sure, we'll still face troubles in this life. Sure, we'll still have our fair share of suffering. But through faith in the good news of Jesus, our lives will never be the same if our faith is in Jesus. That's the joy that we are seeing in these verses today. As a helpless beggar is brought into God's family and has his newfound faith in Jesus, witnesses to everybody who knew him. As these verses begin, Peter and John are on their way to the temple of the Lord to join the congregation for one of the set times of prayer. Last week we saw how the early believers were regularly meeting in the temple courts. And so it's quite likely that Peter and John were going there to join them to pray the prayers along with them. But on this particular day, as they made their way into the temple, Peter and John saw a man who was crippled from birth seated at the temple gate called Beautiful. Let's think about that name, Beautiful. We've got this gate and it's incredible beauty there on the temple. And this name is such a big contrast between this helpless beggar who's been hopeless, without any ability to save himself, to change his position in life, sitting right next to this incredibly beautiful gate. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? We're told that many people had seen this man at this gate before in verse 10. Many recognized this man as the one who had been sitting by this gate called Beautiful. And compared to the beauty of the temple, this man was out of place. And yet, somehow he'd become a fixture here. He was someone that they expected to see as they went into the temple. People expected to see him because they knew how hopeless his situation was. He'd been crippled from birth. He'd never been able to walk. It's not as though he'd had an injury. He'd never been able to walk. And he would have been a regular at the gate from the moment that he was old enough to be able to sit there and beg for himself. Every day, His family would carry him to the gate because he wasn't able to get there on his own. This man was utterly helpless, and he'd never experienced life any other way. This is a picture of everyone who comes to Christ. We are all spiritual beggars. Before God, we are all utterly helpless. When it comes to our salvation, there is nothing that we could do to change our helpless situation. All we could do was see that Jesus has acted on our behalf and carried us to God the Father. Before our Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, in our own strength and on the basis of our own works, we were no better off than this man who was left outside. While we were still helpless and hopeless, God reached out to us through his Son. As Peter and John saw this man, they did what God has done for all those who trust in Jesus. They reached out to him with love in the name of Jesus. When the man saw Peter and John, he asked them for money, but he dare not look up at them as he did. Peter replied, "Look at us." After spending basically his whole life begging at this temple gate, this man would have been so humiliated by his situation, so humbled by his circumstances, that he didn't even presume to look up at anyone, let alone Peter and John, and ask them for money. But at this request, he gladly looked up and gave them his attention, hoping that he was going to get something good from them. Little did he know how good it was going to be. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." Probably thought, it's not going to end well. Then he said, "But what I have, I give you." In that moment, he must have wondered, what do they have? What is he going to give me? I don't understand. And that's when Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And they helped him up. And his ankles and his feet became strong, so strong, in fact, that he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And if that wasn't exciting enough, this man who had spent his entire life unable to enter the temple went in. This man who had spent his whole life on the edge just outside was brought in and was now worshiping God amongst his people. And as he made his way in to worship the Lord, he was walking and jumping and praising God. Before God came and rescued us from our helpless state, we were just like this man. We were unable to come into God's presence. Through faith in all that Jesus has done for us, just like this man, we are able to enter God's presence and worship him. Now, seeing this man walking and jumping and praising God must have been quite an incredible sight. This was, after all, the temple of the Lord. This was a place where people would go in and quietly contemplate the holiness of God, where they would reverently worship the King of Kings. But this man was so overcome with joy, so excited by what God had done for him, that his praise and his worship caught the attention of everyone in the temple. When the people saw him, they instantly realized this is the same man who'd been at the gate called Beautiful all that time. Every time we came into the temple, he was there. It's the same man that we'd walk past year after year after year. They all knew how hopeless his situation was. And as they saw this man walking and jumping and praising God, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what God had done. While the former beggar held on to Peter and John, not because he couldn't stand up, but now because he wasn't going to let them out of his sight, all the people came up to them, and a great crowd assembled around to see what God had done for this helpless man. And next week, we'll look at what Peter says to that crowd. In the verses we've looked at today, we've seen how this man's life was changed, first by a miraculous physical healing, and then by a spiritual restoration as this man gave God the glory for what he had done. One of the challenges for us as we approach these verses is that we don't know this man's heart. We don't know what he expected to get from Peter and John. He may have expected that they'd do something miraculous for him. He may have heard about what God had been doing through his apostles while he was sitting at the gate. We don't know. But what we do know is that after this man was healed, his first action was to go into the temple of the Lord and give God the glory for what he had done. His first act was to go and worship. It shows us that this man wasn't just healed from this physical condition, this helpless physical state. He was healed from his helpless spiritual state as well. He knew where his healing had come from, and he knew who deserved the glory. Now, these verses aren't teaching us that we should always expect this kind of healing in this life. There would be a danger in taking on that kind of view. But what they are doing is giving us a glimpse of the restoration that can only be found through faith in Christ Jesus. They're giving us a glimpse of the day when all things in heaven and on earth will be restored, where there'll be no more sickness or crying or weeping or mourning. And all those who trust in Jesus will spend eternity in the presence of their Savior. And as the healing of this man reveals a glimpse of the new heavens and the new earth, these verses also reveal a man whose life has been radically changed. And the newfound hope of this man then witnessed to everyone he knew. As we continue on in the book of Acts, over the next few weeks, we'll see what an effect this had as God uses this newfound faith of this man to bring more than 4,000 people to himself. Good news of Jesus radically changes lives forever. And it radically changes lives of everyone who trusts in this good news. This restored beggar was expecting to get something from Peter or John, but he never knew how good that thing was going to be. It was far beyond his wildest imagination. If we have faith in Jesus, we serve the God who is able to do far more than we can imagine. As Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more. So much more that it cannot be measured. Sure, you've all heard the old saying, how long's a bit of string? Well, it's just like that. How much more is God able to do in and through us than we can even imagine? Are we living with this kind of expectation that God can do immeasurably more through us than we imagine? These verses are encouraging those who are in Christ Jesus to live with this kind of expectation that God will work through us, that he will bring people to himself through us, and that he will enable us to bless the lives of others. The life of this man was radically changed forever, which raises the question, do our lives bear the mark of God's work in and through us? Are those who know us able to see God's work at hand in our lives? Just as these people in the temple were able to see God's hand at work in the life of this man. Now, maybe that work won't be as miraculous as what God did to this man. Maybe it will. But as the Holy Spirit works through us and produces the fruit of the Spirit, those around us should see God's work at hand. They should see our lives as radically different from those who don't know the Lord. If our lives aren't, then these verses are encouraging us to reflect on what God has done and what God could be doing in our lives from here on. These verses provide a picture of how hopeless and helpless we were before God intervened, before the Holy Spirit broke into our lives and brought us to himself. These verses remind us that there was nothing that we could have done to make our position before God any better. Could have made it worse, but we couldn't make it better. But while we were hopeless and helpless, God, in his great mercy, reached out to us with the good news of Jesus and healed our brokenness, healed our helplessness, so that we who are once outside of his presence are able to freely go in any time we want through prayer. So as we reflect on these verses this morning and what God did to this hopeless beggar who was outside of this temple, out of the temple of the Lord for year after year after year, healed, restored, and brought into God's family, may we give God the glory that he deserves. May we reflect on what he has done in our lives, of all of the mercies that we can look back on and look forward to. May our lives reflect the mercy that we have received. And may everyone who knows us see that our lives have been changed forever by the life-saving good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many distractions in all of our lives. There are so many things going on that it is easy for us to become busy, distracted, tired, whatever, Lord, and forget how good the good news of Jesus is. Lord, help us to shine your light wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Lord, we pray that you would do immeasurably more in each of our lives than we can possibly imagine, that you would use us as a congregation and as individuals to be a blessing to those around us as we live our lives in the light of the mercy that we have received from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.